Oh, how we need to watch and pray. For we know not the day when the Lord is going to return to this old earth. We need to be ready when he comes. Ready to go back home with him when he comes. And we as Christians got to be found faithful in that dreadful day when the Lord returns. It is so good to be here tonight. It is good to see all of you here. I'd like to add a word of greetings to that, to those that have already come before me, and welcoming you to another worship service of the Northwest Church of Christ. Also, we thank you for, if there are visitors among us, we thank you for being here in our presence this evening, and we hope and pray that your stay with us will be an educational one. If you are visiting with us, there are visitors cards in the pew pockets in front of you. We ask you to please fill those out so that we will make your presence known with us this evening. In the book of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, I want to begin reading at verse number 1. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that had wrought us from this selfsame thing is God, who also had given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." And I chose for a subject tonight, the Lord still lives in this old house. The Lord still lives in this old house. I don't know about you. I watch a lot of HGTV. And on that show, from time to time, they will show film clips of the Biltmore Estate in Asheville, North Carolina. And I've often watched that show, and I said, oh, how it would be wonderful if I lived in the Biltmore Estate. But I soon realized, Brother John, how expensive that would be. But I also remember something that Jesus said in John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Not just one mansion, but many mansions. And then I thought about, you know, how it's going to be one day when I leave this old world and I'll be going home to glory to be with the Lord. And how that mansion that Jesus is going to give me or make the Biltmore Estate look like a shack. Say amen, somebody. And my God has already paid for it in full. I don't have to worry about any bills. And I want you to especially note tonight what Paul is saying here in these passages of Scripture. And we're going to cover each and every one of those Scriptures tonight. He says, "For we know, not that we hope or expect." Paul said we know, or even that we believe, that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is a very positive note. Huh? He knows because of the fact that the Spirit of God has made it real to him. The word for tabernacle is the word skene, S-K-E-N-E, which means tent. The Old Testament tabernacle, the Mosaic tabernacle, was a king, a tent. It was a flimsy sort of thing. The bodies we have now are like loners until we get the real permanent thing. Ours are broken.
you know, bodies. As soon as we receive them, we are under the curse. We are scarred by sin. All of our lives, we are tempted by that sin. But praise God, someday he's going to take these old bodies of ours, huh? And he's going to trade them up. It's not even going to be an even trade, huh? It's going to be something that's unthinkable on this earth. It won't be a fair trade, but in God's grace, we are going to receive our glorified bodies, and it is going to be something that's going to be really good, something that I'm looking forward to one day. We need to realize tonight that there is an outward man and an inward man. And Paul talks about that in the preceding chapter of chapter 4. The outward man perishes, but the inner man is renewed how often? Day by day. A great many people tonight, Northwest, misunderstand that. One preacher testified on one occasion. He said, I received a letter from a man who said that the Bible is filled with contradiction. And he said, I can prove that there are contradictions. He said, you talk about so-and-so having gone to be with the Lord, and then you talk about the body that is going to be raised and say that that person is going to be raised from the dead down here. Now, that is a contradiction, he said. This man missed the whole point. He missed the whole idea. The body is put in the grave, huh? But the individual, the real person, the soul, has gone to be with the Lord. If that individual is a believer, his soul has gone to the Lord. The things that are seen are temporal. This old house, Northwest, is getting old. Did you hear what I said? This old house is getting old. Solomon described the old age in Ecclesiastes. If you remember when we studied the book of Ecclesiastes a few quarters ago, huh? In the day when the keeper of the house, Solomon said, shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the street, when the sound of the grounding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. He said this in Ecclesiastes 12, verses 3 and 4. But he talked about the keeper of the house. These are the legs. And my knees, you know, feel like I got arthritis half the time, but they're beginning, as I get older, begin to tremble and begin to get weak. Even when I work out on the treadmill, Brother Long, my legs begin to ache. The strong men, which are my shoulders, would eventually begin to bow themselves. My wife tell me all the time, stand up straight, Fred. And I tell her I can't stand up straight. It's not that comfortable to do so. Those that look out the windows are our eyes. All of us are going to believe one day some large print Bibles because our sight is getting dim. The sound of the grounding low, we don't hear as well as we used to hear, do we? Unless you're talking about that ringing that gets louder and louder in your ear as you get older. This old age is taking place in the outward man. The things that are seen are temporal. But also there is an inner man, and the inward man is spiritual. It is difficult for us tonight, Northwest, to understand that. God is a person. God is a spirit. The Bible said God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. As long as we obey the Lord, as long as we trust the Lord, as long as we do his will, and as long as we worship him, we can know that the Lord still lives in this old house. And I'm glad our spirit can be renewed. Yes, I am. If we can grow stronger all of our lives, if we can do it spiritually. I hear people say, they don't like getting old, Sister Louise. I'm enjoying it. Huh? I'm enjoying it. I have a good doctor who reminds me not to get stressed, but to enjoy life and to do what I want to do. Sometimes my wife gives me a to-do list, Brother Willie, and to do what things for her. My doctor told me, I remind her that my doctor told me to do what I want to do. Now, sometimes I can get away with that, Sister Gladys, but not always. But seriously, it is wonderful to know that every passing years brings us closer to the Lord. We are going to see him someday. We are going to see the face of the Lord Jesus, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. I rejoice in that prospect. that one day I'm going to see the Lord. You know, someone asked President John Adams one day how he felt after he became an old man. And Mr. Adams said, I feel just fine. He said, this old house I live in is really getting feeble. He said, the shingles are coming off the roof. Hello? And the foundation seem to be coming from underneath. But Mr. Adams is just fine, he said. Thank you. I feel that same way that Mr. Adams feels, because I know that the Lord still lives in this old house. We have a house eternal in the heavens. This body of ours will be sown a natural body, but it will be raised a spiritual body. He is going to give us a new body up yonder when we meet him in the air. For in this, verse 2 of our text says, in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 2, the Bible said, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. I hear you groaning, and I'm not talking about the grinding or the groaning you emit at my joke, but it's another sound you make. We all make, but not forever, and maybe not for long. It is not a physical pain. It's not about physical pain as much as tiring of it and yearning for the things to be the way God intended for them to be. One just can't help but groan in this sin-cursed world in which we live. Just look at all of the senseless deaths that we see each and every day. Here just last week we saw 4 Marines killed by a terrorist, if you will. Senseless death, all because he hates America and he hates Americans. Perhaps some groan when they open their bills, huh? I know I groan when I eat too much. And yes, we come to a place where we groan with pain sometimes from exercise, work, or just from getting up out of our seats. Hello, somebody. My wife tells me, you ought not to groan. And I remind her, church, that groaning is spiritual, huh? Paul says we groan in this house, and I'm going to groan while I'm in this house. Hello, somebody. In 2 Corinthians 5, and the verse is number 3, the Bible says, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Now, this is interesting. One of these days, Jesus is going to call his own out of this world. Huh? And we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And we are going to stand before him. What would it be like for us to stand before him? Will we be clothed in his righteousness? Huh? Will we not be found naked? Not everyone will be clothed in his righteousness. Do you hear what I'm saying? When they are raised from the dead, Christ said in Romans 4 and verse 25, he said, was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, that is our righteousness. But some folk have not accepted his righteousness. They have rejected Christ. Therefore, there is a resurrection of the just and the unjust. And Paul mentions that in Acts chapter 24, and the verse is 15. He said that there should be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Jesus said the same thing in John 5, and the verse is 29. And he said, and shall come forth that they have that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. You're going to stand in his presence one day. Huh? Will you be clothed in his righteousness? Huh? Are you accepted in Christ? Huh? Yes, I can truly say, as long as I obey the Lord and do his will, I can truly say with all belief that the Lord still lives in this old house. Fourth verse of our text, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 4, it says, For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened not for what we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up in life. If you feel like groaning, huh? You just groan. Now, it's scriptural to groan. We are burdened? Yes, we are. That is why we groan in these bodies. It is not that we are worried about being unclothed tonight, church. We know that we should be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. If he is our Savior and I know he is in my life, then he is our only hope that we need. He said in the fifth verse of our text, now he that had wrought us for the selfsame thing, he says, is God, who had also given us, what? The earnest of the Spirit. Now, the earnest of the Spirit implies that there is more to follow. Hello, somebody. He has given us the Holy Spirit down here in these weak bodies with our feebleness and with our frailty. The Holy Spirit is just the earnest. I mean, earnest money is the down payment. Christ has purchased us. And the Holy Spirit indwelling the believer is the down payment. One of these days, we will move out of this old house. Yes, and we will meet the Lord in the air. Oh, how wonderful it will be, huh, when we look upon the Lord on that great and wonderful day. Yes, the Lord still lives in this old house. Therefore, we are, our sixth verse says, in verse number six, said, therefore, we are always confident, huh, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, huh, we are absent from the Lord. Yes, the Lord still lives in this old house. Now, let's be honest with one another. We many times feel at home in these old bodies, don't we? They are all we have ever known. We know every scar, and we can point the record to every mole or scar on our back that we've never seen. Huh? However, as long as we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. Then in the seventh verse of our text, says, but we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, how could Paul tonight be sure that when we leave this body, we will be present with the Lord? Paul says that we walk by faith, huh? We take God at his word. And I would rather take God at his word than anyone else's word. Hello, somebody. Faith is taking God at his word. Then our eighth verse of our text says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be what? Absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Another translation would be at home with the Lord. It contrasts being at home in the body while being at home with the Lord. Remember that Paul does the body, the soul does not die. The soul never dies. The soul goes to be with the Lord. It is the body that is put to sleep. It is the body that must be changed. Remember that there will be a generation that will not go through death, huh? What did the Bible say in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 53? But the body will still need to be changed. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. It is the body that goes to sleep, and it is the body that is raised. Knowing these things, Paul says we walk by faith. Then our ninth verse and final verse says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. The Greek word philetum, that is translated labor, literally means to esteem as an honor, to be ambitious. It is the same Greek word which is translated study in 1 Thessalonians 4, and the verse is number 11. The verse says, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands. Be ambitious to mind your own business. In this verse before us, it is translated labor. We should be ambitious tonight, Northwest. We should labor in such a way that we would be accepted of the Lord. This is not ambition to become a great somebody, huh? But to do our best to please the Lord. We are accepted in Christ. Paul makes this clear in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Paul said, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. Being accepted in Christ is my understanding, is my standing before the Lord, before God. God sees me in Christ. And he has made unto me all that I need, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He is my perfection. God sees me in Christ. And I am complete in him tonight, Northwest. You cannot add anything to completeness. When a person has 100%, that person has it all. Huh? We are believers. We as believers have Christ Jesus. And we are accepted in him. Accepted in Christ is the standard that all Christians, all believers have before God. Yes, the Lord still lives in this old house. But to be accepted of him is a different thing. Is that what you would have said? To be accepted of him is a different thing. Huh? It's a different thing. And it refers to the way we live our lives. Do we live for Christ? Are we ambitious to be accepted of him? To be ambitious, to be accepted of God, does not mean that we crawl over everybody and step on them in order to get to the top. You know, there's a story told about a minister who wanted to be, who wrestled with a problem. And he was a school teacher, and he wanted to be a gospel preacher. And it was a very solemn moment for him. And he felt that the Lord was saying to him, you have been set apart, huh, for the ministry of the word. And he said, now, talking to himself, he said, now, the Lord said, do you want to be a great preacher? Or do you want to be just my servant? And the first thought that came in this old preacher's mind was that I want to be a great preacher. But he wrestled with that idea for a long time. And after a while, it began to impress on him what the Lord was asking him. He said, do you want to be a great preacher? Or do you want to be just my servant? And finally, the preacher got it. He realized what the Lord was saying to him. And he said, I would rather be thy servant than to be anything else. He was willing to be an obscure preacher than to have greatness. And sometimes we think that our ambition ought to be to do something that is great for God. Huh? God said that he wants us to be just his servants. And all you need to do is come to that place where you can say to yourself, Lord, just take me, just make me and break me and do with me what you want to do. Huh? Make me do your will. And when we can do that, we can come to the conclusion that the Lord still lives in this old house. God gave this word through Jeremiah in the very long ago. He said, and seekest thou, in Jeremiah 45, in the verses number 5, he said, and seekest thou great things for thyself? He asked a question. He said, seek them not. That's putting it plain, isn't it? Huh? That's putting it plain right there. Are you trying to get great things for yourself? Do you really want to be God's servant? Well, if you do, then you can accomplish something for which he will be able to reward you for the things that you do. To be honest with you, sometimes I get a little worried about the things that we want in this life. I'm worried because I want to make sure, church, that I am a servant of the Lord while I'm in this old house. I want to just be a servant to the Lord. There's a man by the name, and I'm just about done, because it's hot up here. There's a man by the name of J.D. Sumner. And he wrote a song that's the title of my lesson. The title of his song is that the Lord lives, the Lord still lives in this old house. And it goes something like this. He said, if this earthly tabernacle should be dissolved today, I'll trade it for a finer one that will not pass away. But till the day arise when it's time for moving out, 'tis such sweet peace to know that the Lord still lives in this old house. The sweetest fellowship I've known has fortified these walls, and peace has reigned since he's been walking up and down these halls. When with snow up on the rooftop now and these hinges near worn out, it's a sweet joy to know that the Lord still lives in this old house. To him, it's been a dwelling place where he kept my hand in his. To me, it's a home away from home. It's all it really is. It sure ain't fine and fancy. And all I can boast about is after all these years, the Lord still lives in this old house. Now, there were times when he had the right to just up and move out. There were times and days I knew it took God's amazing grace to stay. But he never left this old building once. That's why I can sing and shout Because after all these years, the Lord still lives in this old house. To him, it's been a dwelling place where he kept my hand in his. To me, a home away from home is all it really is. And it sure ain't fine and fancy and all that I can boast about.